Up next is a replay of our Sunday, March 26th service. Please enjoy the message from Pastor Raph and music from Kaylin and the worship team.
Okay, before we get into the scriptures, someone just told me, and I already knew this, but it was reaffirmed that there's somebody's birthday today, Brother Byron.
Also, my sister Michelle, is her birthday today too.
What?
Michelle's birthday, my sister from Edmonton.
It's her birthday too. Okay.
And my brother Marlo's is on Friday, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Someone told me that, Byron, you turned 70. Is that true? They say you don't know anything till you're 70. Yeah. I don't know where they get that from. I don't know who they are. If you have your Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. How many know God understands what we're going through? He understands every aspect of our lives and all the difficulties that we face, even sometimes on a daily basis. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. How many here have ever been tempted? Yeah. I want to say that again. How many here have ever been tempted? Okay, I think we've all been tempted. Yeah. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. Verse 16, which is the important verse before we pray. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And friends, this morning, it's today that we need to find grace and mercy, because I think all of us have a need here this morning. And we need God to help us in all respects, in all that we go through. Let's stand this morning and let's pray. Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the privilege of gathering together one more time. We pray, Lord, that you will bless this service. You will bless the worship team as they lead us. You will bless in every respect, Lord. Father, we just pray this morning that you will give us a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Lord, we need it today. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're going to sing a few older familiar songs this morning and then some new ones as well. So let's just praise the Lord.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, face toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.
He's given us. Jesus, we praise you and we worship you this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is a new song we're going to try and teach you. Breathe on us.
There is a shaking, let hearts awaken. Our God is moving, forever changing us. There is a trembling, there is revival, the sound of worship, so great and glorious. Holy Spirit, the Lord is with us now. the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me.
Sunday school this morning? No? Well, how are we doing this morning? Can I call you brethren? Sisterin? We are the brethren. You guys joking? Yep, behind my back? Good. We're off to a good start here. But see, do you want to hear something that's not related to my sermon? Okay. Like, can we be real here? Can we bring the house lights down? No, just kidding. Have you ever done something stupid? Can't hear me. You know why? Because I'm on mute. There, how's that? Better? Okay, forget everything I just said. Let's start again. No. Okay, so have you ever done anything stupid that just affects your life today?
Never.
Never? No. Okay. It's a good thing that we've been looking at Proverbs up to chapter 10. And you know, sometimes when I read the Proverbs, I feel condemned. Feel like a fool. And it's not condemnation I should be feeling, it's conviction. Yeah. But as of late, particularly last night, I did not sleep much at all. And the reason for that is because of something dumb I did several years ago while I was overseas in Egypt. Some of you might know this story, but I thought it was a good idea to play chicken in a pool with a big giant Brazilian guy on my back, where really I should have been on his back, but me being the show-off at the time, thought, you know what, I can do it. And you know what, we won, but the problem was, in the middle of it, as I'm under the water, I feel it's pop, right in my neck. Which leads me to stupid time number two in Jordan. So I was priding myself because I was able to wrestle and take down a lot of these Egyptian students, young guys. And, you know, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then there was one guy they called George, which I called the Syrian bear. Okay, so he was 6'3", probably a good 290. So here I am thinking, oh yeah, I can take him. So this one day, he shows up and he says to me, I will break you. Sure enough, that's what he did. So I've been dealing with that ever since. So if I start to glaze over a little bit or look at you guys funny because I think that you're all got beards and pointy hats because I'm hallucinating again, give me a little grace. But you know what? All that to say is that God has spoken to me about that, and I have to listen to him and interpret or understand that stiff neck that I have. Now, is that something that he's trying to speak to me? Am I stubborn? You know what stiff-neckedness is, right? Israel was called stiff-necked, right? So let me just put that out there. I pray that you would not be stiff-necked this morning. Because I've done that plenty of times. And just as much as maybe this message is for you, hopefully, it's also for me. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to start right away with the scriptures because it's not about me, it's about him and it's about his word. So let's look to Psalm 121, and I just want to start. You know, you're not going to have it, you're just going to have the first two verses there. So just don't go through the cycle. I'll just read it out, okay? And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 121. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Who made heaven and earth, not the heaven. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. He is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day and the moon by night, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil, and he will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. This is the word of the Lord. We live in a very beautiful valley surrounded by mountains. They are breathtaking ranges that we have. Do you know what they are? Cape Herself, yeah. Selkirks, Skimmerhorns, and Rockies. Yeah, we got them. We got them. I just didn't want to get them wrong, so I got you to say them. No, I knew them. I know them. Have you ever been on top of any of those mountains in those ranges? Yes. Mount Thompson. Well, I don't like climbing mountains. I'm going to be honest. But I've done it a few times. And one time in particular, the first time I went up, I didn't actually make it up to the top. I was with two guys, experienced mountain climbers. And the reason why we didn't go up to the top was because it was a day that this particular guy that I was with recognized the snow was pretty soft. We shouldn't be up here too long. And he realized, okay, you know, we're going to have to do our thing and then go back down quickly because there's going to be avalanches, right? And he said, it's not a matter of if, it's when. But I'll tell you, when we got up to that ledge after, it was painful getting up there, sat down on that ledge and we worshiped the Lord together. And, you know, it's like nothing mattered. It didn't matter that I wore the wrong boots to go up that mountain, and every single step was painful, a struggle. And I hated every minute of it. But once I got up to the top of that ledge, it was almost like I was at the top. But, you know, I could see things. I had a different perspective. And, you know, all we could say was, God, bless your name. Holy God, you're the maker of this mountain. You're the maker of the things around me. How did I not see this before? Well, you do not see what you see up there when you're at the bottom. You do not see what you see when you're trudging up halfway, three-quarters of the way, right? You don't see those things. But all of a sudden, all that matters when you're up there is God. If you're a believer, you can see that. You think, wow, I'm connecting with God on a different level. This is a mountaintop experience. Have you ever had those? Yeah?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Amen.
Okay. Well, you know what? You have them more than you think. And sometimes they're mountaintop experiences. Sometimes they're hilltops. Okay, so in my... can you go back to the beginning there? My first verses? Yeah, there you go. This is the new English version. What is it? English Standard Version. He says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. So the thing is in Israel, there are not a lot of mountains. There's only one big mountain, and that's Mount Hermon. And big is a relative term. Compared to our Canadian mountains, it's not much of a mountain. Mostly what you see in Israel is hills. But you know, sometimes when you have experiences with the Lord in worship, which is what we're going with here, this is what we're looking at is worship. Sometimes it's a hilltop, but other times it's a mountaintop. Where all of a sudden, whatever's going on in your life pales to who God is and who you can see who he is, especially from that vantage point. Right? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Eventually, once we got off that ledge and we went down, we had two avalanches. And you know what? All I was caring about was my life. I wanted to live. And what God spoke to me on that ledge, later on when we got to the bottom, I didn't even remember. I didn't even think about it. I was thankful that I lived. But what became more important was my life in that moment. In the struggle, oh God, thank you that you saved me. But that wisdom, that revelation, that peace, that comfort was gone. I don't remember. I remember the view, but I don't remember what God spoke to me. Like being on the top of a mountain, our vantage point and our perspective, when we're on the mountaintop with God, is hopeful, full of faith, as we marvel at who he is. It's a breathtaking view. We become reacquainted and reminded of God's glory in those moments. God's glory is displayed in his creation, which moves our hearts back to worship. And that's something here that I want to show you that's embedded in this psalm. In a sense, it's a pattern of how to worship, how to deal with day-to-day life. And you know what? We live in a place where we're surrounded with such beauty. But let me ask you the question. When's the last time you really looked at the mountains? When's the last time you looked at the trees and the forest and the creation and you thought, God did this? Amen. Right? You know, it's funny because we get to a point where, like the world around us, we look at creation and we give glory to the creation. But what about the one who made it?
Amen. That's right.
That is the place of worship. I tell you, you know, I'm so blessed by Diana's work with Genesis and just looking at creation, you know? Because again, we as the body of Christ, we need to remember who the Creator is. Because in this psalm, that is the springboard to glorify God.
Amen.
And to enter into worship and to remind ourselves of who he is.
Right.
Because in those mountaintops, you know what you receive? Those mountaintops experiences with the Lord, you receive revelation, wisdom, comfort, encouragement, healing, joy, freedom, exhortation, correction, faith, repentance. We're fed by his word and we're nourished by his spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But what about when you come down? What happens then? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I come down from those mountaintops of worship, like I said, I forget everything. But while I'm up there, I believe I can conquer anything. When we go back into the world, back to everyday life, it's as if that mountaintop experience never happened. You know, Pastor David recently spoke on the language of faith and reminded us about getting out of the boat. And then he spoke about the five smooth stones of faith and picking up those stones. And you know, when we come into the assembly of God, this can be a hilltop or it can be a mountaintop, right? Where God speaks to you. You're encouraged. You're with the brethren. God touches you. My question is, how did you do after that during the week? Did you remember? Did you remember what faith is about? Did you remember to get out of the boat? Did you remember to pick up your stone? Hey, this is not condemnation, but this is a reality. You know, we come together, and it can be in the service, it can be in your devotions, it can be in Bible study, prayer meetings, and you have these hilltop or mountaintop experiences. But then as soon as you go, you enter into the world. What did I just learn? I don't know. Yeah. Was God even there? You know, times where you're weeping before the Lord, and it's such a powerful time, and he's touching your heart. And then as soon as you get going, you go have your roast beef or whatever it is you're going to have that day. Later on in the week, you've got things to deal with. You've got difficulties. You've got struggles. And all you can do is not look up, but look straight ahead. It happens to all of us. So my sermon this morning will look at a psalm to help us get some perspective again. I hope. When we descend into those places from the spiritual mountaintops, our worship of God, and our heads are down, and we are struggling, and all we can see is our feet in front of us, we need to look up. We need to look towards the Lord, where our help comes from. He's the one that helps us. Lift up your eyes and know where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is our protector. He will not sleep or slumber. He guards our very soul. In this psalm, Psalm 121, this was the plight of the worshiper. He was actually returning home from being in Jerusalem. And this particular psalm is part of a group of psalms called Psalms of Ascent. Shir Ma'alot is what they're called in Hebrew, and they're songs of going up to Jerusalem. So when these psalms would have been sung or recited was when the worshipers were going to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. But this particular one was being recited on the way back because the worshiper that had been in Jerusalem was having a mountaintop experience. Okay, this was the feast. This was the time where he was with his brothers and sisters. They were celebrating God's goodness in, say, Feast of Tabernacles or Passover or one of these feasts where the children of Israel had to be in Jerusalem, right? Mount Zion, right? Mount Zion is not really a mountain, it's a hill. But this was the place of worship. The mountain for the children of Israel was a place of worship. So when they look towards Jerusalem, they think about God that they just spent time with. That's the place of worship. Are you following me so far?
Absolutely.
Okay. He would have had, or she would have had, such a wonderful, blessed time. But then when your perspective starts to shift, and all of a sudden you're leaving this place of blessing, you're leaving the temple, and you got to go back to wherever you live, and you got to go through the danger of going through there, and you've got to go back to the real world. So the psalmist is talking about look back to the place of worship. Look to God. Look to him. Amen. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, he who made heaven and earth. Looking up to the hills, the worshiper is speaking in the first person. He lifts up his eyes to the hills, remembering where he just came from, the city of the great king, the place of worship. The worshiper turns his eyes to where he met God. For us as the Church of Christ, we don't face Jerusalem. But to consciously and deliberately remember and reflect upon what God has done for us, particularly in those mountaintop experiences. David did that. What did David say in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. As New Testament believers, when we think of the benefits of God, we think of the cross of Christ. He set us free. So when we look, when we remember, when we think about what God has done for us, we go to the cross. How can we not? Each one of us are here because of Christ. So we have to turn to him. We need to come to the cross. This is worship. We're on the road to worship. When this is something that you deliberately do, you're starting to worship. Don't worry about the fact that you are forgetting. You're starting to remember. But more than that, no, I wouldn't say more than that. Along with that, let's say that. When the worshiper asks, where does my help come from? He's asking this question. He says, my help comes from Yahweh, the all-sufficient one, the self-existing one, the one true God. You know that is a holy name, Yahweh. There's none like it. The personal, sacred name of God, the great I am, the maker of heaven and earth. As followers of Jesus, we interpret and acknowledge the Lord Jesus, remembering what he said as was recorded in the Gospel of John 8:58. Jesus said to them, speaking to the Pharisees, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What is he saying? He's saying he identifies with the great I am. So we recognize that as believers. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the great I am, Jesus. That's right? The maker of heaven and earth. And as I was saying before, when we start to look at the creation around us, and we know who made it, when we reflect on that and meditate on that, worship begins to take place. How can it not? The Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:15 to 17 said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That sounds pretty supreme to me. Jesus was involved in creation. Indisputable. As a worshiper would lift up their eyes to Mount Zion, to Jerusalem, they would reflect on Almighty God, the maker of all things. You're drawn to the attributes of God. Almighty God, His omnipotence. He made the heaven and the earth. Look around you at the beauty that surrounds us, and he made it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The beauty and majesty of the night sky is his handiwork, displaying his vast and unsearchable nature. Psalm 19, 1-3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Have you ever stargazed? You know, I mean, that is such a vast topic. The stars, the heavens. God made every single one of them. And I think when you look out into the night sky, particularly in your backyard, you're going to be in awe. Particularly if you recognize who is the one that made every single one of those stars. Amen. And every planet out there. Amen. God is glorious and He is mighty. And He created every one of those things. And you know what? You enjoying that, it was for you. It was for us. He made these things for us to enjoy. Amen. Yes, there's deeper meanings behind it, of course. There's a lot more reasons. But we can enjoy those things by our Creator who made them.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
General revelation. It's God's revelation through His creation. How does the atheist not see that? Because they don't want to. Because the sheer awesomeness of what is all around us has got to stir you to worship.
Amen.
If not, something's wrong. Glory to God. Psalm 95, 3 to 5 says, "For the Lord is a great God, great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." These are only a few. But again, when you're struggling, and you're in the day-to-day, I suggest strongly that you start to look around you, and you start to give thanks for the creation around you, and recognize who made it. They belong to Him, not anyone else. It doesn't matter about climate change. It doesn't matter about these people that want to protect the earth and cause human beings to suffer. It all belongs to God.
Right.
And He's in control regardless of what things look like. Look to Him. Lift your eyes to Him.
Right.
He is where our help comes from. This beautiful valley of ours, the stature of the mountains, reminds us of God Almighty who created them. All you have to do is look out your window. Admittedly, on a miserable day, maybe you don't see much. But they're there. They're still there. But the point is when you deliberately take a look and notice God's creation, you're starting to look at Him and not on your circumstances, not what's going on in your life. Okay? It's a shift. It's a shift of your vantage point. Right? Well, you know, it's not, you're looking right in front of your feet going up that mountain and it's so hard and it's so difficult. But all of a sudden, you're seeing the top of the mountain. You're seeing the glorious snow on top of the mountain. You think, wow, God made that. Looking to Him. It inspires worship. Where does our help come from? Does it come from our wealth, our jobs, our government, the private sector, the institutions? Everyone here knows that these are all in different stages of utter, complete failure.
That's right.
So I'm telling you, I'm imploring you today, if you're putting your trust in those things, and you're looking for those things to help you, you're on the wrong track. I said you're on the wrong track if you're looking at those things.
Yeah, that's true.
All of us. And you know what? I know there was a certain sense of comfort to think about, oh, I could just go to the hospital. Oh, I just have insurance here. Oh, I have such and such amount of money in the bank.
Right.
That's not where help comes from.
Right,
those things are fleeting and fading away.
Yeah,
that's right.
The world is fundamentally broken. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Yes.
You know, the thing is that the world is really busy on trying to imitate the things that God does and has done. AI, artificial intelligence. You know, and those are the things that are going to be creating or making human beings. Counterfeit.
Yeah.
It's counterfeit.
Right. That's right.
You know, they can't make a mountain. They can't make a tree. And if they do get there, it's not the same. It will fail. Because the Spirit of God is not involved and Jesus Christ is not involved.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will, does not slumber. Or the word there is slip, okay? And then verse 4 says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Okay, so that slipping is like when your foot is kind of like tottering, you know, shaking. Whoa, you know. In the context of our worshiper heading back home, the pilgrim, it would have been very perilous and dangerous. The terrain was challenging. The threat from marauding thieves was there, as well as wild animals. In addition, on the hills that he would be encountering, guess what was there? Pagan temples. So there is a temptation for that pilgrim to go and just say a quick prayer to those other gods to ensure his safety. That was always going on. That temptation for the Israelites to just make a quick little prayer to the other god just to cover all their bases. That's like, in a sense, us. Yeah, I trust God for everything, but I just have this little stash of money, or I've got this gold underneath the ground, or whatever. It's not wrong to have those things. I'm not saying that. But don't put your trust in those things. That's not where your help comes from.
That's right. Amen.
Sometimes then it can cause our feet to slip. But in 1 Samuel 9, or 1 Samuel 2, 9a, he says, he keeps the feet of the godly one. Have you ever fallen off a mountain?
Yep.
Yeah, I have. But as providence would have it, I fell right into the arms of my sweetheart. It's a long story. It's for another time. Okay. But for the pilgrim in the psalm and the Christian, we can be confident, not in our own ability, but in God, the one who guards, the shomer, is a guardian. Shomer in Hebrew is a guardian. It's like when you go in when you're in Israel today, everywhere you go, there's a guard with a gun that searches you for explosives or weapons or whatever. God is our guard, and he guards us. And he does not slumber or sleep. When the psalmist says slumber, it's a different word than sleep. Slumber means to doze off. Have you ever dozed off? So guards on the night shift are notorious for dozing off. And there's kind of a reference to that, that even the night watchman would doze off, but God does not. He's always awake, guarding us, guarding his people, guarding Israel. You know, I can remember when I first met Sylvia, and we would talk late into the night, and I would watch her, and she'd be like, like that. And I thought it was so funny. Later on, when I worked at the mill, I'd work night shifts and I'd get all twisted around with my circadian rhythm. And I'd be driving home after a day shift. I'd be driving the car and I'd be like, you know, and it was so scary because it's like you know when it's happening and then it's just like, just pray that you don't turn too far one way or the other. But it was like just torture getting home. God does not get drowsy or doze off. When we encounter trouble in our lives, we might tend to think that God's asleep. He's not doing anything. His inactivity starts to get us to wonder, what is God doing right now? Is he sleeping? No, he is not. The false gods are the ones that sleep, okay? God is omnipresent and omnipotent. The gods of this world both sleep and slumber. When Elijah the prophet was taunting the prophets of Baal, who could not summon their god during that contest that he had between Baal and God, he said, "Your God must be sleeping. Where is he?" Yahweh does not sleep. The false gods over the economy of fame and fortune, and the rest all snooze. The false gods promise the world, just like Satan did when he tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. But the reality is, it all is a pack of twisted lies. All of it. You guys awake? Praise the Lord. I remember when we lived in Jerusalem, and Sylvie and I would go in and have conversations with Jewish people there, and it would usually be there would be terrorist attacks. And you know, it was such a terrible atmosphere, you know, and you'd see the hurt and the pain in their eyes and the fear. And Sylvie and I can remember both of us just saying, you know, at different times or even together, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Is God will keep Israel. He did then and he will now, regardless of what they go through. Amen? Amen. He is their guardian. And it's true of the church as well. Each one of us. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. When the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, you remember? They're running from Pharaoh. Pharaoh was pursuing them. He's in hot pursuit with his military. They were leaving the bondage of Egypt. Exodus 13, 20 to 22 says, "And they moved from Succoth and encamped on Etam, on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night, the pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." It's called the Shekinah, or manifestation of the glory of God. And later, that glory cloud would rest upon the tent of meeting. Right? But what was it? This was a miraculous display of the presence of Christ. The pillar of cloud, the Lord himself was walking with his people. And the cloud, and from the cloud he spoke to Moses. There, the glory of the Lord is known as the Shekinah, appeared also in Exodus 16:10 and 40:34. It was similar to the way the Lord had already revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And in Sinai, the thunder and lightning. Thus, the fire and the cloud represented God's divine guidance and protection.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go this way. Don't go that way. This is where you're going to find food. Stay here. Provision, protection, and guidance. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after the crucifixion and resurrection, he already spent 3 years teaching them the right interpretation of the law, which he was the fulfillment of. And then he sent his Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Which manifested itself as a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire upon the early church. We have that Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It is our divine guidance and protection.
Yes.
Leads us to provision. We can trust in the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
The power and the presence of Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil, and he will keep your life The Lord, verse 8, the Lord will keep your going in and your coming out from this time forth and forevermore. In all circumstances, the pilgrim was to find himself, and likewise for us, the truth is, when we lift our eyes to the Lord, we remember that he is the maker of all things, and worship takes place in our hearts. When we have faith and we believe he is guarding us, as he does Israel, he does his, and that he does not doze off or sleep, no matter what is happening. When we think about the bad things that have happened to believers throughout the various generations, and that are happening even now, how do we reconcile these verses I just read? How do we look at that? I'm reminded of when Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, 12 and 15. Jesus said this in verse 12, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name." Guarded, kept. Do you get that word? Kept, guarded. Okay? "In your name, which you have given me, I have guarded them." How ironic. "And not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." In verse 15, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Amen. Notice this parallel between Psalm 121 and the portion in John 17 I just read. Jesus did guard his disciples. He never slept or took a nap on the job. Now you're going to say, yeah, he did sleep. In the boat, when the storm came. But when he woke up, he demonstrated his sovereignty over the elemental powers that had attacked at that time. The elemental powers of this world, because that was a satanic attack. And he delivered the disciples from danger. Later, most of the apostles were killed. They were martyred. We know for sure Peter, Paul, James, and the details of John's death are not entirely clear. The theme in this Psalm 121 is knowing where your help comes from. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
From having confidence in him and his protection. Verse 7 says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." And actually the word there should be soul. Mm-hmm. Keep your soul.
Amen.
"The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. It does not promise that our lives will be free from trouble or danger. But regardless of what will happen, if we look to Jesus, he will keep our soul from falling prey to the evil one. We belong to him. And through him, our destination and eternity is certain. We will be with him.
That's right. Amen.
He can't steal your soul. The devil cannot. Jesus will keep you.
Yes.
Lift your eyes and know where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The apostles knew where their help came from. They knew who created the heaven and earth. Jesus, who walked with them. They were convinced that the one who guarded them and kept Israel would never slumber nor sleep.
Right. Yes.
They knew that the Spirit of God was with them.
Yeah.
They knew who kept them from the evil one who kept their and kept their soul. They had many mountaintop experiences with the Lord by their side, as recorded in the New Testament. They got it. So many other saints of God who have gone before us got it as well. And so can we.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you to those who've been listening by radio. We thank you for joining us. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for tuning in and joining us. Have an amazing day and God bless.